Thank you for the privilege of being with you today. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, and John chapter 8, verse 58, our magnificent, all-sufficient Savior and God. You can find the study on abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com. Go to Sermons and Bible Studies and click on our magnificent, all-sufficient Savior and God. God has revealed himself to men, and the greatest names of God in the Old Testament are self-revelations of the Lord God to men and women who were in helpless situations. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. In each case, God saw their need, demonstrated that he alone could perfectly meet the challenge, and in that experience taught the individual or nation some special characteristic or attribute of his person. The I am who I am is revealed in the Old Testament. To Moses, he revealed himself as his personal name, I am, or I am that I am. Moses was helpless. Moses failed in his first attempt to deliver Israel from their Egyptian slavery and was placed on a shelf for 40 years on the backside of a desert tending his sheep. And then God called Moses to deliver his people, Israel, out of the slavery in Egypt. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 to 25 tells us God saw the bondage of the children of Israel and heard the cry of his people for help. And so God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them in verses 24 and 25. Had God forsaken his people? Indeed not. For God heard, God remembered, God saw, God took notice. God called Moses in the desert wilderness. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush that refused to burn up, in Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. In this call, the God told Moses he was going to send him to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, in verse 10. Moses, who had failed in his previous attempt, asked, "Who am I?" He was like many of us. When we sense our inabilities and failures, we focus on ourselves and our weaknesses. Who am I is the wrong question. The issue is not who am I, but who are you? The God of Israel revealed himself as the great I am that I am, or I am who I am, in verse 14. He is the self-existing one, the I am. And there is none other. He is the one who is himself, possesses life, permanent existence. Can he take care of such a tremendous task as delivering millions of slaves out of their bondage in Egypt? Can he be depended upon when we need him? His very personal name reveals that he can be trusted and that he is completely adequate for the task at hand. His name reveals that he is the I was, I am, I shall always continue to be. He is the eternal one, the beginning and the end. He is the one whose years have no end. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. He is the self-existent one, beside whom there is no one else. He is without beginning, without ending, from everlasting to everlasting. And by the name of the I Am, Yahweh, Jehovah, O Lord, he has revealed himself as eternal, personal, continuous, absolute, uncaused, unconditioned, independent, and self-sufficient one. As the God of grace, he becomes whatever his people need. He is the becoming one. He is the I will be that I will be. He is the one who always exists, eternal and unchangeable. you find this magnificent name, Yahweh. Translated into English, Jehovah, in the New American Standard, Lord, in the King James Version, and the New American Standard Bible. Lord, in all four capital letters, is used to distinguish from Adonai, also translated Lord in the Old Testament. Whichever translation you're using, Yahweh, Lord, or Jehovah, the same deity is being referred to over 6,823 times in the Old Testament. Jesus is the I Am. The Lord God made his greatest and most complete revelation of himself in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Apostle Paul succinctly writes of Jesus, saying he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. And whether the thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17 and verse 19. How did Jesus describe himself? During a heated exchange with a group of Pharisees, he said in John chapter 8, verses 56 through 59, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And so the Jews said to him, You are not 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. And therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. They knew exactly whom Jesus was referring to when he called himself I Am. They were so incensed, they picked up stones to stone Jesus to death right there on the temple grounds. Jesus said he was the same person as the I Am, the self-sufficient one, without beginning, without end. Where's your desert? Do you live in a spiritual wilderness? Where's your bitterness? Where do you sense your helplessness? Listen again to the one who declares himself to be the I Am. Do you need bread? Jesus is the bread of life, sustains and satisfies our most basic needs. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. And therefore the Jews were grumbling about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. And this is the bread that comes down out of heaven, and so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is in my flesh. John chapter 6, verses 35 through 51. Do you still want to settle for that old stale bread the religions of the world have to offer? Jesus Christ is the only source of the bread of heaven and eternal life. Do you need light? Jesus is all the spiritual light that you will ever need. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I have come as light into the world, and so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. John chapter 12, verse 46. Why do you still blindly run around stumbling in a world of spiritual darkness? Jesus will give you all the spiritual light you need to find the Lord God and enjoy him forever. He will lead you out of spiritual darkness into eternal light. Do you need a way into God's presence? Jesus is the door into the Father's presence in heaven. John chapter 10, verses 1 and 7 tells us, Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. And so Jesus said to them again, Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. There is no other entrance into God's presence but through the door of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 tells us, And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved. Do you need a shepherd to provide direction, nourishment, protection? Jesus is the shepherd, the good one. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd who gave up his life to give you eternal life. There is eternal security and assurance in the good shepherd alone. John chapter 10, verses 25 through 30. Do you find yourself going through the shadow of death? Jesus is the resurrection and life. Jesus said to Mary and Martha, who were grieving over the death of their brother, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And when it comes time to pull the sheet over your head, there's no one else to turn to. Jesus alone is our hope in the presence of death. His death is the death that ends all deaths. He alone rose from the dead and gives eternal life to all who believe on him. Do you need absolute truth, the perfect way, and the only giver of abundant life? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is simply no other place to look, no other person or God to turn to. There is none other who can take you by the hand and lead you into the presence of the Heavenly Father. Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life that will give you eternal life in the presence of the Lord God. Are you looking to lesser gods to give you abundant life? Do you need unbroken fellowship with God? Jesus is the only person who can provide you with sustenance, communion, and continual fellowship with the great I Am, because he is the I Am. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. How I wish God's children would learn that great truth. Has the Lord God removed every false security from your life so that you will realize that apart from me, you can do nothing? There is blessedness in nothingness. Apart from Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. Note very carefully that in every one of these quotes in the Gospel of John, Jesus has revealed himself as the I Am. He is Jehovah. He is the Lord God. He is God with us. He was using the great divine name he gave to Moses for the absolute timeless existence of the Lord God. He was walking and talking with these men, revealing this great truth among them. Will you be a part of the great company in heaven that will bow their knees before the Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, and confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. Have you discovered the all-sufficient Savior? He alone can meet every need if we will trust Him. But we have to meet Him on His conditions, not ours. He's the God who sees and provides for His own. This great truth was revealed to Abraham. It was a time of testing. The Lord God tested Abraham to see if he would trust Him to be able to fulfill His covenant. And in His covenant, God promised Abraham's descendants, who would be as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sand in the desert. Years passed by, and Abraham and Sarah became old without any descendants of their own. And then God provided a miracle child in their old age. His name was Isaac. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 8 through 18, God revealed to Abraham that He alone is able to see and provide for Abraham and Isaac. Jehovah, the Lord, sees and provides for the needs of His people. He cares for His people. And He provides as no one else can. God commanded Abraham to go and to offer up a sacrifice. As they walked up the mountain, Isaac was getting concerned about not having a lamb to sacrifice and asked his father, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for Himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And so the two of them walked on together. And God will see and provide. If God is going to be faithful to His promise and to His covenant, He's going to have to raise him from the dead. Genesis chapter 21, verse 12. And when the father and the son arrived at the place to make the sacrifice without a lamb, Abraham built the altar, arranged the wood, bound his son Isaac, and laid him on top of the altar. It wasn't just the faith of Abraham, but Isaac too. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And that was a giant step of faith on the part of the father and the son. In this experience, we see God's perfect timing. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Genesis chapter 22, verses 11 through 14. The Lord God is always saying to us on every occasion, Your Heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. And then Jesus proceeded to tell us the secret in verse 33. Jesus said, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Since he is a faithful Father, he sees and knows, and it is impossible for him not to provide. It is his nature to provide for his kingdom. And since he sees and knows, he always provides. And when the Lord God says to you, "I am the one who sees your need," he's also saying, "I am the one who sees your need, and I will provide, because I cannot see it and not provide what's best for my own." Why doesn't God provide the way I want him to do it? As an all-knowing and seeing person, he sees what we need. He sees what we do not need. And he chooses not to provide what is not in his very best interest. He provides his very best. And we are so willing to choose the second best because our vision is limited and our interests are selfish. He is also completely aware that what we need, that we do not see. If God in his wisdom gave us all that we want instead of what we need, our most important needs would go unmet. The great I am who I am, Jehovah, the Lord God, sees the complete picture and provides what he considers to be his very best. He saw our sin and depravity and cared enough to send his very best when he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for our sin. God stayed the knife in the hand of Abraham, but plunged it deep into the heart of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary. There was no substitute for God's Son. He was the magnificent, all-sufficient Lamb of God who made perfect atonement for our sins. He gave himself on our behalf for our sins. God himself, in the person of his Son, saw our need and provided the Lamb without blemish and without spot. The Lord God has seen and fully provided for our greatest need. And since his heart is as large as his infinite power, there's no need that cannot go unmet. God's vision issues in provision, and my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He also fights our spiritual battles. Do we tend to ask the same question Israel asked Moses? Is the Lord among us or not? Exodus chapter 17, verse 7. Where is God when I need him? All these things sound great, Will, but where's God when I'm in a fight for my life? The forces of evil rose up against God's people, and Joshua went out to battle the Amalek. And so it came about that Moses held up his hand, and Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. When Moses grew tired, he sat on a stone, and Aaron and Hur supported his arms on either side of him. That day, as the sun met Moses and the children of Israel learned that the Lord is my banner, in verse 15, the Lord demonstrated to Israel that he will fight for us if we will allow him. And all that he demands of us is to be still and trust him. And that's the only way we can ever succeed in a spiritual conflicts. Have you learned that great truth from our God? We take pride in our natural abilities, our pragmatic, self-sufficient nature, but we will never win spiritual battles with those resources. Ours is a spiritual battle, and we are to put our spiritual armor on and walk by faith. It's God's armor, not our armor, that wins spiritual battles. Our interference with our natural powers and abilities only hinders the Holy Spirit. We win the battle only when we trust Him to gain the victory. We operate with Him when by faith we put on the spiritual armor and trust the leading of the Holy Spirit and use our spiritual weapons. We're told in Ephesians chapter 6 in verses 10 through 20. We are to abide in the Lord and draw our strength from Him. Your natural abilities are no match in the spiritual war. You trust in yourself and you will fail miserably. You trust in your own abilities and you will turn into a rebel. It is a spiritual battle we are in, and a spiritual victory is won by faith in Jesus Christ alone. We get into a verbal fist fight with the devil, and the devil wins the victory every time, not God. Only Satan wins those battles because we play into his game. God reminds us He is very capable of winning the victory if we put our spiritual armor on and trust Him, because He is the Lord God. We win through submission. The angel of the Lord wrestled Jacob one night in Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 30. In the battle, Jacob was winning against the angel of the Lord. Jacob's resistance against the angel was so great that he could not prevail against him. The angel was losing the fight. The angel of the Lord touched the socket of Jacob's thigh and dislocated it while he wrestled with Jacob. God made Jacob lame and weak so he could no longer wrestle with God. Jacob gained power when he lost it. He conquered when he failed. Things haven't changed. Has the Lord God wrestled with you lately and won? You and I win by losing, and the Lord God wrestles with us so we will lose and learn to depend completely upon Him. Have you learned that lesson? We fight with God as long as we have any strength left, and the Lord finally touches us in the strongest area to demonstrate to us that we are really weak and helpless. The Lord God is here. The Lord God says, I will be with you. And the Lord Jesus Christ is here when we need Him. All of these truths from God's Word demonstrate to us the Lord is near. The Lord is here. He's the one who provides for us. He is the only one who is capable of providing. Jesus is God with us. He is Emmanuel. He is God, our Creator, Redeemer, who came down to this earth and dwells among us. He's here. He's in our midst. He's always here. He is God with us. And since Jesus Christ is God, then He has every right to my full allegiance and complete loyalty. Because He is God, I fully accept Him as Lord and Master of my life. When Jesus Christ is acknowledged as God in the flesh, we are confronted with a personal decision. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Will it be Jesus Christ as Lord of my life, or my own God made in my own image? I choose the magnificent, all-sufficient Savior over lesser gods. And since the claim of Jesus Christ are true, we must bow and worship Him alone as God. The eternal preexistence of Jesus Christ as the I Am is our guarantee of eternal security. Jesus assumed the divine name and the title Yahweh, Jehovah Lord, when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Practically everything Jesus said was an indirect claim to deity. I and the Father are one. What is your relationship with Jesus Christ today? Will you bow and worship Him and declare, my Lord and my God? May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.